CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I am Timothy Maurice Webster, and I am thrilled to be having a conversation today about the idea of PR. I want to take you back. As you know, this is the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. And today, we look back over 2016. We're going to come up with your top 10 power PR tips. What are the top tips we have learned from politics to social media to the Exco world to sports? What have we learned that we can rally into a top 10 and look back and be confident that this are some of the best lessons that we've learned from 2016. I'm super excited. I've got a special guest coming in who is an extraordinary young woman. I've actually got a surprise coming in as well. It's going to be a real fun show. If you're tuning in, nowhere, irrespective of whether or not you are in PR, marketing and branding, or you're just someone who wants to translate yourself better or your company better, or you want to make a fundamental difference, this is going to be the show for you. We want to extract the top 10 lessons, and we want to think about in a very strategic way, what are the best ideas we're going to take forward into 2017. So we've got Allegra DiCuagnani coming in. She's the founder of Orgella Media. And as I said before, we've got a bit of a surprise coming in as well. But I want to give you a little bit of background before we get started, before we welcome our guest to the show. I want to give you a bit of background into where PR began. Because people just assume, like in 1800, there must have been PR. No, there was no such thing as PR in the 1800s. If you go back and you look at the sort of the history of PR, it is almost, we could almost say in a very sort of confident way, that we owe PR to the Freud family. The nephew of Sigmund Freud, an extraordinary thinker, Edward Bernays, used to be the father, or what they call the father of propaganda. He was hired by the U.S. government in right before sort of World War I to really sort of explore how are we going to go about ensuring that the U.S.'s sort of interest in their sort of reputation around throughout Europe was seen as someone who was trying to spread democracy versus preserving self-interest. And Woodrow Wilson hired, the president at the time, hired Edward Bernays, this propaganda master, to make sure that that actually happened. He did such a good job. When Woodrow Wilson traveled to Europe, he was well received after the war. And upon reflecting, after Woodrow Wilson and his government started to reflect on how we're going to get the U.S. to spend after the war, because everyone wanted to save. People felt like, I cannot spend money. I need to save. Times are tough. Things are uncertain. The entire climate is complex. So I need to save. So the government was like, okay, what can we do to get people to start spending to get the economy going again? They thought, let's call up Mr. Bernays and let's see if he can get the consumer or individuals wanting to consume things that they didn't know that they wanted. How are we going to be able to get people to buy things to get the economy going again? And Edward Bernays, in a sort of a stroke of genius, decided that he was going to test and sort of pilot a couple of models. So what he did was he took the tobacco companies was the first sort of case that they used to see if this idea of getting people to want something before they knew they wanted, if it would actually work. And so he set up sort of a pilot study with tobacco companies, and he was able to get women to smoke, because back then it was very taboo for women to smoke. So what he did was, during the New York Easter Day Parade, he took 10 sort of influential women, told them to jump out in front of the major sort of float at the parade, and they held cigarettes in their hand, lit up in their fist. And the next day he put in the media that they were holding flames of freedom. Now, this was interesting because at the time, women were not interested, period, in holding cigarettes or being seen around a cigarette because it was seen as taboo. But what Edward Bernays knew is that women at that time were fighting for the right to vote, and they wanted to be seen as highly empowered. to be seen as strong and equal to men. So by holding the cigarette up and using it as sort of a symbol of a torch of freedom, he inspired women to want to consume cigarettes. And by changing the symbolic sort of image of what the cigarettes meant, he triggered the sort of unconscious sort of consumption patterns in the mind. Now, this is important because when you look back at history, this is a seminal moment where he showed that the unconscious, which his uncle Sigmund Freud focused on, had sort of latent or sort of dormant capacity that we can tap into if you engineer desire. Put simply, you can inspire people to want to consume something without their knowledge that they actually want it. And by getting women to smoke cigarettes, he doubled the market size. Congress found out about this extraordinary sort of case study, and they hired him to work. But at that time, as he was working alongside the U.S. government, they learned something quite compelling. They learned that he could no longer use propaganda because Adolf Hitler had started to use this sort of term. And because he had started to use this term, propaganda, and he did some horrible, as you know, sort of reconfiguring how Jews were perceived and sort of igniting the Holocaust, Edward Bernays had to use a different term. And the term he used was, and this is brilliant, the Public Relations Council. And that's how PR was born. PR was born on the back of this great study from a gentleman named Edward Bernays. You can Google Edward Bernays, a nephew of Sigmund Freud, if you want to know more. But that is sort of the background of PR. And how does that link with where we are today? Where we are right now in this critical moment in history is that we are in a place where people don't want to spend. People are struggling often to think about and how to sort of invest their time, energy. So whether you are a tourism destination, whether you are corporate or trying to get and galvanize your employees to buy into a concept, all of us are trying to get people to consume something. And our fundamental goal is to inspire people to think differently about how we can get people to consume. And today we are looking at what are some of the campaigns, what are some of the things that we've been able to sort of see that have demonstrated some creative sort of consumption campaign models to trigger people to want to consume individual brands, corporate brands, etc. And so when we look at the history in the backdrop, we're actually in a very fascinating chapter of history where we are revisiting this sort of space. So I want to go to a quick song, and then I'm going to bring in my guest, and we're going to talk about very specifically why it is right now is one of the most fascinating times to even consider and talk about PR, to talk about how it can elevate you as an individual, your company, how you can relate to the public differently. Because sometimes people go, what is PR? It's very ambiguous, etc. No, it's very simple. We want to show you how to relate to the public in a way that you can get them to engage you from an unconscious level, not just a conscious level, that we can trigger their unconscious to want to buy in, just like what Edward Bernays did with those women back in the 1920s, before, right after World War I. That's what we're going to talk about. We'll be right back on Unbranded. Now watch me
break it down. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Well, welcome back to Unbranded. Again, I'm Timothy Maurice, and thank you for joining us again. I need to give a shout out. Over the last couple of weeks, Rianette and Noam Denny sort of held it down for my Cyber Health features that we have, as you know, on a weekly basis. Hopefully you continue to follow those, that the movement of safety net continues to inspire people to think differently and thrive online. And Noam Denny really sort of shared with us some really wonderful tips. So go back and download those episodes about sort of branding, PR, and mentoring. Today we focus on 2016 top PR lessons. What have we learned this year that we can take forward into 2017? And as I promised, we have a wonderful special guest in the house, Ms. Allegro Dincugnani, founder of Orgella Media. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Timothy.
So Oprah-ish. I just realized Orgella is Allegro.
Yes.
But it sounds so cool, and they sound like unique names, yeah. Right? I guess that was the genius of Harpo Media. Like, you don't think Oprah, but when you look at it closely, it just
exactly
kinda makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You started at Trace Urban as a journalist in PR. You helped with interviews and stuff. You know, did you ever watch people doing an interview and going, oh my God, that's a disaster. I need to help these people.
Yes, a lot of times, especially when you were like, you know, behind the scenes, and then you help the interviewer with questions, and then once the cameras are on, you just like, I wish I was the one sitting there just doing this interview, and you're cringing. But obviously, you know, later on, your time comes, and you're sure able to do, you know, what you do best. So sure, yeah, I definitely have been in that position.
So fortunately for those who follow the show, you know we upload photos and some video clips at times as well. Mm-hmm. And you'll get a chance to see this young woman. She's very dynamic. Your Instagram page pops. Like, you know what I'm inspired by with your Instagram page? Is well, like, you're like, unashamedly, like, I know I'm fine. That's your whole sort of thing is like, look, we're doing good work.
Yeah.
And we're fine. So deal with it. Mm. Where do you get this level of confidence from?
I've always been very confident with who I am. I think I'm very comfortable with who I am, and I know exactly where I want to go, and I'm very happy with where I am right now. So I don't think anything can really move me, you know. So every day I just wake up with, I don't know, a different type of energy that I'm just on another level. And again, I also have pressure from my followers. You have no idea. I spent like 3 days off Twitter. I posted one tweet 3 days later and someone was like, where have you been? I'm like, 3 days? They're waiting to see either your outfit or how your day went or what book you read and things like that that sort of inspire them because they follow you on a daily basis. So I guess that's why my Instagram is popping.
Your followers are thirsty. So can you imagine what Kim Kardashian's followers must be going through? They must be stressed. So you studied at UCT. You even studied philosophy. Mm-hmm. Your background in sort of journalism is quite inspiring. And, you know, your website, Orgella Online, nominated in 2013 for a social media award. So you're quite an agile professional who has sort of a range of views and perspectives. And people really sort of trust you, even though you're fairly young, primarily because of your journalism background, that you built your chops in journalism. And people go, okay, if you're a journalist, you're pretty serious at this thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm not just a blogger.
Yeah, you're not just a blogger. So 2016, what a year, man. It's been a really, really interesting year from, you know, from all the way from politics to literally to social media. Virtual reality is taking over sports brands. Bafana is remaining consistent. Springboks have just fallen off earth. You know, I feel sorry for rugby fans in that I can imagine there's no amount of PR you can do around the Springboks right now, right?
Some things, even we as PR practitioners, we're not miracle workers. It's just we just have there's to sit back and watch. Yeah.
Like if you were hired to work with the coach, Alistair.
Oh, boy.
What could you do with him?
I have no idea right now. I don't know what strategy we would have to brainstorm and help him and help the rest of the team. But I really think, like you're saying, some things can be out of, you know, a PR manager's hands where you just say maybe it's best to just sit and watch and see how things unfold. Sometimes it's good to just keep quiet. Don't always be quick to respond to things, you know, quick to rush to social media, quick to say something and put out a statement and whatever it might be. So, yeah.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking PR and the top PR tips of 2016. And irrespective of your background, just like I started the show talking about the history of PR and how Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, helped set off a movement of helping inspire people to consume by leveraging their subconscious mind and their instincts. Even in the case of Alistair, one of the most fascinating things about the narrative, his public narrative, and by the way, narrative is defined twofold, to know and to tell. Now, I don't think people know critical aspects around Alistair, for example. I don't think people know that he was an assistant coach on the World Cup team in 2007, the Rugby World Cup team. Most people don't know that. And part of why I think he gets a really hard time is people just assume he was like a BE appointment and that he doesn't have this critical sort of experience. And the fact that he does is an opportunity. So I'm not defending him. I don't know much about rugby. But from this conversation, what I do know and what we're going to unpack with Allegra is that we're going to unpack to get you thinking differently about how you see narratives, what you know, and then ultimately what you tell. And our goal is to come up with a top 10. But I want to keep reviewing 2016. You know, from the brand DA, the DA's brand continues to grow and evolve, and it just keeps sort of like evolving in a way that it's, I think it's catching people off guard, mm-hmm. right? From the DA's brand evolving to brand Trump, what a year. Brian Malefi discovering the Shebeen in Saxon Wall. Have you been to the Shebeen?
No, I haven't.
You haven't
not
been?
Not yet.
Have you went to see and look and see?
I do, but I haven't been there yet, so, well... I'm curious.
You could actually have, you know, if you find it, you could have your end of year team host. Like, really? You guys could host your end of year function at the Shebeen. I mean, clearly there's something going on there. Executives took a big bashing in 2016. I've noticed that a lot of executives are starting to get PR people around him. If you look at Whitey Bassan, I mean, extraordinary leader, got $100 million in a bonus. People went crazy. People went crazy. And one of the things that I have, I realize that a lot of executives, the senior executives are starting to get PR people along on mm-hmm. their team. And that's sort of a growing trend. So a lot of celebrity brands, Pearl Tusa moved to New York, Banan continues to kick butt, South African hip hop is seeing its day, Gareth Cliff continues to survive and prove people wrong and just be wonderful, Casper keeps filling up stuff. Casper is just like filling up stuff, right?
Stadium.
It's been a really interesting year because, you know, I think he has proved it's sort of like, you know, you remember back in the day, I mean, you would have been in high school. Remember how big it was to say an American was coming to South Africa?
Exactly.
It was a huge deal. It was huge. Yeah. It could have been a C-list American. Yeah. It could have been anybody.
The fact that they were not South African was just amazing.
Yeah, it was big. Now it's like the game has changed, right? And it's funny to watch, you know, you'll find Americans come here who can't even fill up Taboo, mm-hmm. right?
They can't even fill up a tub. I mean, just, 2 months ago or a month ago at the Mamas, Future, which was, he was like a headliner, was supposed to perform and all that. He did, but then the audience only responded positively when he brought out a South African rapper, Nasty C.
Yeah.
You know, all the time he's just jumping on stage. We couldn't care less who he was. We were waiting for Babes Wodumo. Yeah. We were waiting for like our local artists. And that's when I think now they're starting to realize that we don't have that much effect as we used to have as, oh, I'm an American artist. I'm from the UK.
Well, I mean, the A-listers do. But, you know, the thing is that, yeah, I mean, you know, you know, if Jay-Z comes, it's still Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, Beyonce,
Nasty C,
yeah.
You'll be looking at Nasty C like, dude.
Boy, bye.
Yeah, boy, bye. But, you know, if Drake comes. But, you know, I think the point is that what's happened with the BET coming here and MTV is given a platform where it started to level the playing field. So now there's almost, I still think we still have a ways to go, but there's almost this equal footing dynamic that's happening that's amazing. Mm. The media moguls, such as, you know, Kanye and Lomo and people like yourself, rising and, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, Kanye's not going to be around forever. Somebody has to take her place. That must be you, right? You know, the NBA, you know, and the sports world in general has seen a fundamental shift, even with how they recruit people. Mm-hmm. So virtual reality is seeing finally sort of catching on around the world. And even South Africa, I see where people are training. They're exposing their employees and potential clients to the opportunities using virtual reality headsets. Kevin Durant, who is a major star in the NBA in America, was recruited by the Warriors using virtual reality. They showed him what their practices and tours were like and how fun they were while he was like chilling on a beach. So
amazing.
Things have just changed drastically. So 2016 has been a really fascinating year. I'm sure there's been ups, downs, but overall, between people filling up stuff, MTV, you know what's amazing
to me? I like how you keep saying filling up stuff.
No, because he's filling up stuff. Let's be honest.
Yeah. And filling up his bank account at the same time.
And making money. I mean, people are making money. So it's been a year where narratives, campaigns have evolved, shifted quite dramatically. And people need to be extremely savvy as we go about this. Yeah. You guys sit on your team and brainstorm and come up with just like crazy wild stuff. One of your clients is Donald. He's had a pretty good year as well, right?
He has. He's had a good year for somebody who hasn't released an album
this year. So he's been leveraging his hits.
Yeah, definitely. And he recorded a live DVD, a first ever, earlier this year at Carnival City. And that's what, you know, he's been making a lot of noise with. But even before, you know, he started planning that, he came to the office and was like, you know what, Allegro, I'm not releasing an album this year, but I don't want to go quiet. But also, I don't want to be making noise for all the wrong reasons. You know, if I'm in the papers or I'm on TV or radio, what is the content? What am I telling people? I'm not just going to wake up in the morning and go do an interview for the sake of staying relevant.
Sure.
So we had to work out a couple of strategies, and he chose what he liked. And the whole Red Mic experience, which we called the RMX experience on social media, went very well. You know, fans from across the country came to Joburg just to support him at the DVD recording. And I know that's coming out early next year. So that's going to be amazing. He's had a great year, you know, and I can't say any more, but there's a lot.
I get it. Well, whose strategic idea was it, or was it his, to place him on Somizi's reality show? Because I thought that was brilliant. I mean, the timing, obviously, promoting his sort of DVD. Was that his idea? Was that your team's idea?
It was our idea collectively. And also Somizi just was really like, come on, you have to just appear on my show. And also, I mean, I'm going to be choreographing your live DVD show.
So it was dual,
you know, do a couple of appearances. Win-win. They did a few charity events together, and his cameras were rolling. So Donald was in the mix, and that was about it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now let's talk quickly about, out of your portfolio of businesses, from your entertainment company, PR agency, design, events management, you got a travel blog, online fashion boutique, you're into property. Where's your passion? Where's your heart lie?
My heart lies in philanthropy. I think if I had to drop everything that I do out of all the eight entities, I would keep Orgela Helping Hands, which is a charity foundation I founded in 2011. And right now we have about 48 volunteers. And we do amazing work for the homeless, to old age people in the shelters, and sending kids to school, building libraries, things like that. For me, it's so satisfying. Maybe sometimes even more than Donald winning an award and we knowing that we were behind him all the way. You know, that for me is definitely amazing. But I also love online journalism. That's where I really realized in my final year at UJ, third year, we were doing online module. And after doing print and radio and going through all the other different media platforms, I found myself in online. And it was still very new. I didn't know how you even get paid off of a blog. I didn't know how to convert my readers on my blog, you know, into money and sell to advertisers and things like that, which is why I went further to study at UCT social media and marketing to understand, you know, the whole dynamics behind online journalism and blogging and so on. But I think that I could do, like, I know that, like, the back of my hand. I absolutely love that.
So you're making money now?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
From your website?
Yes, Orgela Entertainment on orgelaonline.com. We have a couple of advertisers, and money that I never thought, you know, in this day and age, especially thinking about journalism from a traditional aspect, I never thought that, you know, you could make money just for placing an ad for a week on my website.
But what kind of money? You know? Like, blesser kind of money?
Blesser.
Like, because, you know, like, you don't, look, the type of money you can make where you don't even need a blesser type of thing, right?
Let's just say while I was working at Trace, I made more money from my blog than what Trace was paying me. I bought my first car from my blog, and I moved to a bigger apartment from my blog because of my blog.
You see, stuff that blessers normally do. You don't even need a blesser. Got it. Okay. Awesome. So you're at this space now where you enjoy helping hands, but from a strategic perspective.
Yeah.
And congrats. Keep making a difference. We're very proud of you for doing
Thank
this type
you.
Of work. But from a corporate perspective, in terms of the branding and PR work, what do you actually love? Like, what gets you up in the morning when it comes to, you see a client, you see a challenge?
Yeah.
What wakes you up?
For me, I love working with brands that are just about to pop. You know, I don't like working with, I mean, it's great. You can give me a Casper now and say, okay, he's filling up F&B Stadium next year, so what are we going to do? It's not going to be that hard, you know. But I love a challenge. Sorry. I love it when up-and-coming artists come to us and they say, I'm about to release my debut album, and I'm shooting a couple of videos, and this is my budget. What can you guys do for me? And we work with that artist all the way until they win, you know, big awards, and they become a household name, and people know them, and we're like, we started from there. And I know that we're one of the very few PR agencies in South Africa that actually work with up-and-coming artists. A lot of people have asked me, even on social media, why do you take on unknowns, a lot of them? Why do you not just go for the guys that are already out there and have, you know, build names for themselves? And I'm like, but that's easy work, you know. You can give me Justin Bieber and say, okay, he's coming through to the country. I'm not really selling the tickets. I might just do a couple of social media, you know, campaigns, get influencers involved, invite some media. But Justin Bieber alone, the name, is already sold the concert.
Okay. Allegra, do you really mean this? Do you really mean you like taking people and from starting from the bottom to the top?
I love it. I love it.
You enjoy it.
I enjoy it so much.
Okay, so before we go into our top 10, in fact, what I want to do is I want to start with this sort of top 10 sort of tips, but I want to whet people's sort of appetite and thirst quickly, okay? So let's go from 10 down to 1.
Okay.
Can we do that?
I didn't know that the ordering
was going to be. Okay. We can let people choose what they think is the top 10. But let's give number 10. Drum roll, please. Number 10. What is one of the top things we have learned from PR perspective in 2016?
The use of influencers.
Influencers. It's just taken off, isn't it?
Some people,
their whole title is, I'm an influencer.
You ask them what they are, and they just say, well, I'm a fashion influencer, I'm a social media influencer, and they're making money off
they
that.
They are making money.
They're making
money.
A lot it's of money kinda just cool. sitting home.
We used to laugh at them. Exactly. Now they're laughing at us.
It's like socialites before. You're like, what do you do? Oh, I get invited to parties and stuff. Now they get invited to parties and get paid for appearances. You know,
I know one of the so-called it girls who's a proper influencer. I helped her negotiate a deal where she went to a wedding of a rich person. And just to be at this wedding, because this person wanted to seem like they had a serious network, they paid 100,000 rand.
I think that's pushing it, though. No. At my wedding, I don't want influencers at my wedding. Yeah. I want real people.
Weddings are branding events. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I've got a major challenge for you after we come back from this break, okay?
Yeah.
After we come back from the break, we've got a major challenge. Not a challenge in the fact that the person is super talented.
Yeah.
But I've got a surprise for you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to, that really matters. At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore human and brand behavior. And today I've got my super amazing, wonderful special guest, the founder of Orgella Media, Allegro Ninkonyani, who is a rising sort of star media mogul in the making and doing some really sort of wonderful work out there. And she said she liked working with up and coming stars. So what she didn't know is that I knew she was passionate about helping build people. And so we brought in Mr. Blake from Atlanta. That's what he goes by, Blake from Atlanta. He's a tennis coach. He's actually a basketball player as well. We play basketball at Zoo Lake, and he's actually can ball. Like, you know, when I first saw him, I'm like, ah, this guy. But then we won like 8 in a row on the same team. So I was like, you know, I can deal with this dude. Turns out he actually is really good in hip hop as well. And Blake, welcome to Unbranded.
Thank you for having me.
How long have you been in South Africa? You're American from Atlanta.
Right. Yeah.
How long have you been in South Africa?
2 years.
Two years. He's been in South Africa 2 years. So what I want to do quickly, I want to give Allegra a challenge, okay? I want to play a little bit of a track. What song do you have for us?
Yeah, so this is a song that I did with a guy named Snayman. He's also an artist.
Okay.
And so he's on the hook. I think hopefully when I play it, it'll have a little bit of his hook and then me on the verse.
Okay, cool.
It's called FOE, Family Over Everything.
Family Over Everything. Yeah. Let's check it out. Allegra, you paying attention.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
I'm here.
Let's go. All right, so what we're going to do, we just sort of queuing it up quickly. We want to make sure that now, just quickly, while we queuing this up, tell me some of the artists you work with besides Donald and some of the type of work you're doing in general.
We've worked with Wizkid. You're just playing a song now. I'm like, I love Wizkid. And funny thing, I started working with Wizkid when Banky W hadn't really released him as a solo artist. I met Wizkid about 6 years ago, you know, and he kept saying, you know what, I can't wait to release my own music and do some amazing work. And now I look at his brand and I'm so proud. And
that's crazy, right?
He's like a global artist. You know, he's amazing.
And, so, and anyone you want to work with, you see bubbling up out there, you love to work with?
Right now, there is this amazing girl. She's Amanda Black. I know she's with Ambitious Entertainment. I think her voice is absolutely amazing. I haven't heard anything like her in the past decade, you know.
Amanda
she reminds,
Black.
Yes, she reminds me a lot of Thandiswa Mazwai, Simphiwe Dana. She's a mashup of, I don't know what, but she's just, I relate to her. She's young.
She was top 10 in Idols a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, she's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. Her music, I know she just released her new video last week. We put it up on the blog on Ogela Online, so you can have a look at it there. And I think you'll love her.
So how do you know whether or not you should work with an artist or not?
I think their passion. I always ask artists when they come through, every time I get to the office and I'm told, okay, we got a request, somebody's asking for us to do their PR, I always ask, can they send through their bio, their images, what they're currently working on or what their plan is, because content is key, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. Sometimes they come across and they say, okay, cool, I want a publicist, I want a PR agency, and I look at them and I say, but what am I selling? What do you have? You know, is it a new song? Is it? I can't just make you famous. You know, people come there and they think it's fancy to have a publicist, but then I don't have content. What am I selling to the journalists and also to, you know, your potential audience and people that might turn into fans later on? What are we saying? So for me, it's not just about having you on retainer and having us, you know, get paid. It's also about our reputation.
All right, cool. So check out this track by Blake from Atlanta and his boy, Kosa.
Ndisebenza nje ndifundiswe ngabazali ngiphangela nje kungenxa yabantu abami ngiyozi nje kungenxa yompazami ngingumntu nje ubhuti nosise bami xa ndibona omkhulu ndamamata xa ndibona abazali ndamamata xa ndijonga umfazi ndamamata hayi ikamva lalo liyaqhakaza ikamva lalo.
I see you bobbing your head.
I see
it's a good start. Okay, yeah. Let's go. Bring it back.
From my mama's belly, I had them headphones on. 6 years old, cooking on the stove all alone. Daddy didn't have a daddy, badly, madly made me sadly. Feeling like I had you gladly. Raised my sisters, grow up fastly. I'm the oldest, pressure built on the boy's shoulders. If I get a chance, I'll do better when I'm older. I know that my mama loved me. Even though you're not around, I know you'll still hug me. You work after hours just to be there for them hours. Then you stay for some hours so I feel strong. Most time I was wrong, you knew all alone. Didn't have a lot of help but made a house a home.
Okay, have you heard enough?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think?
I like it, but I have a question for you, Blake.
Sure.
Do you hear what he's saying? Do you understand?
No, he gave me the basic like premise.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So just gave him the concept of FOE.
Yeah.
And then he wrote, and then I put the bars to it.
So you collaborated. At the end of the day, you have sort of a universal idea of where you're gonna head with the track.
Yeah.
Okay. Give us something sort of a cappella. We want to hear your sort of flow style quickly.
Okay.
Let's see if he just got that innate sort of talent. What you got? Let's go. Break it down.
I go by the name of Blake Murray from Atlanta. Hotness. This swag ain't for them posters. Them girls standing there looking good. Got a fitted cap, he sway hood. Got a video, he sway good. I done live in the trap, I done live in the hood. I done seen it all, ain't done it all. I'm blessed not to the dope game, but the boys still got dope game. 3-point switch with no aim. They run business, no aim. I'm caught in this local fame. Where y'all niggas get your name? Y'all kings, man, some no names. Ask me about them, they no name. Career catch fried propane. These flames you cannot tame. Suited up or dressed down. I'm a man now, so bow down. I don't ask, they go down. I'm sorry, man, did I hurt your feelings?
it. It's the self-esteem. Better pick it up. I've been there. I know the feeling. Despite what they tell you, I never be failure. Woo!
Blake, for, that's Blake from Atlanta. Okay, cool. So now you've got a case here. You've got a guy who's been in South Africa. Let's look at the backdrop. He clearly collaborates well with local South Africans, which is quite a unique dynamic. He has sort of innate, sort of a natural flow. You have a case. Is this the type of person, beyond whether or not you would take him on as a client, what would be some of the strategies to help him sort of build inside of South Africa? Give him one tip.
I think, firstly, I would ask, the reason I asked you, did you understand what he was saying? Because I want to find out your relationship. Now you're trying to bridge the gap. You're not South African. You're not Xhosa. You're American from Atlanta. You've been living in South Africa for 2 years, and you're making your music here, and obviously you want to relate to a South African audience also. And then also, I'm hoping, you know, not forgetting the audience back home.
Right.
You know, so I think the first thing for me would be finding that mutual, I don't know, relationship between South Africa and you seeing yourself as a global artist, not just an American artist. Because, I mean, maybe tomorrow you might work with an artist from Nigeria or another country in the African continent. So I think understanding the South African people and what your music caters for and your audience this side, and then, you know, across the globe.
All right. So from a performance perspective, do you suggest he just hit the clubs? How does he start to get his name out there? You know, should he start uploading stuff on social media, doing videos? You know, what are some quick viral ways to get his name out there to start making some cash in the club or getting people to purchase his music or whatever?
Definitely social media. I'm not going to try and buy something that I don't know of, especially in this day and age. You know, consumers are very, very smart. I think they're becoming even smarter than the brands themselves, you know. So it's important for you to be very active on social media, more than just tweets and you know, putting out 140-watt characters on Twitter. People are very, like, visuals, videos, if you're, you know, in studio, you're working. I always tell even some of our clients, whether you're working late at night, take a little snippet and tease your audience and say, guys, I'm working on something. I'm in studio with my producer, or I'm collaborating with this artist. When you're going out, they want to see that lifestyle. They want to see that you are already that superstar that you want to be. You know, don't flex too hard, obviously, but I mean, just show them that I'm actually well on my way. And with regards to club appearances, the honest truth is, in South Africa, you're not going to get that much. You know, they're not going to pay you. They'll try and give you a couple of bottles and put you in the VIP for, like, appearances and stuff. That's just the reality, unless you are like a Casper and you say, listen, I know what I'm worth, and I've got awards, and I'm this big of an artist, and just for an appearance, not even performing, I want this much, and you still cater to my needs and my entourage and so on. But stepping out is really good, because people also want to see you out and about. You know, I can't just see you on social media and you say you're an artist, or on your website, and I never see you out, and I never, you know, I don't see you at the main events, rubbing shoulders and networking with the industry peers and getting your name out there.
But Allegra, think about this. I mean, there are some artists like J. Cole and those guys, they rarely go on social media. They just, you know, what they do is they work hard behind the scenes. How do you find that balance between staying extremely focused and not being all over social media?
Yeah, I think social media is not for everybody. You give the example of J. Cole, I would give you the example of Adele, where she really, you know, just stays away, and she says that the fame and social media and the fans, I know they're out there and they want me to speak and they want to see my pictures, my baby, my personal life, whatever it might be, but I'm not that kind of person. And for her music to be real, she needs to stay true to herself. So if it's not for you, that's where we come in. That's where you get a PR agency. We handle your social media, and we make sure that content is there and people know about you, even if it's not coming from your own official verified account and so on. You know, it might be coming from the agency's account, so fans might follow us to know, okay, what is Blake working on, where is he touring, what's happening with his career, and we make sure that we feed them with the right information, as opposed to you sitting there and tweeting all the time or on Instagram. I understand some people just don't even get it. When they try, you have to call them, you're like, please delete that picture and that caption, I'll WhatsApp you a new one, and that is not something I want to be doing on a daily. So social media, again, is not for everybody, but we do have to use it, and even if it means you getting a publicist or getting a social media manager, or maybe your manager just being the one that's feeding people information through, you know, his social media channels.
So, okay, yeah. So we're about to go into the top 10, but Blake, I want to give you an opportunity. What have you seen in terms of getting your name out there in South Africa that you've seen as one challenge that you'd like to throw at her in terms of how she overcomes that challenge?
Yo, I think giving up-and-coming artists platforms. Like, just something simple as, like, in Atlanta we have open mics. I can't find an open mic. So when you're saying you want to get your name out there and get exposed, you need these type of things to...
Yeah.
I think that was a big part of the Atlanta scene, is that the open mic thing is huge. And there's not an open mic, you know. I did my own open mic in Mabuneng just to kind of spur something. But that's one challenge, and I think that's a huge challenge.
So creating platforms for people that are up and coming.
Yeah. And that's something that, like I said, I'm very passionate about. At Okelo Communications, we look at somebody and we're like, okay, they're really talented. They're level-headed. They know where they want to go. It's not just about the fame, because, I mean, some people come around and I'm a rapper, I'm talented, but you really find out that they just want to be at their award ceremonies. They just want to be rubbing shoulders with Caspers on the red carpet and so on, and they're not going to be serious about their brand.
Got it.
So it's hard. I understand. I understand your frustrations as an up-and-coming artist, because there's very few platforms. Even for us, when we're sending out a press release and we're saying, okay, here's a new artist, they're really hot, listen to their track. Trust me, the media, it's like, they're very slow to warm up to you. It's like, okay, who are they? But immediately you say, okay, they've collaborated with a local artist, or they're shooting a new video and the cameo is maybe Casper, AKA, or whatever. Then we pull in a couple of big names, but making sure that they don't overshadow you, you know, and then you try and use that. Otherwise, a lot of the open mic sessions that you're talking about that you're not really exposed to happen underground, you know, the Mabonengs and all of that. And they're not exposed, and that's not where the media is and where the people you want, you know, to be relevant to and be exposed to. They're not there, so you find, you know, yourself frustrated as an up-and-coming artist.
So what you're saying is you can help engineer a plan where you create platform, create awareness, and create opportunities for the artist.
Exactly.
So you guys can talk a little bit off-air after we give this top 10. Can we do that? Can we do that?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. All right, so let's go through our top 10. You've given number 10. Number 10 was influencers. And guys, before we go into our cyber health safety net feature, I want you to be thinking about how you rank these top 10, okay? Let's just go through them. So you've given number 10. Number 9.
Engaging experiences with the consumers. It's not enough anymore to just say we have a newspaper ad and, I mean, here's a new phone or whatever it might be that you're trying to sell. I get deliveries at the office where there's a new, be it a new iPhone or a Samsung. Actually, this iPhone that I have, I got for free from Vodacom. They were launching them in South Africa and they did a midnight launch, a very cool campaign. I thought it was great. I wouldn't step out at midnight on a Wednesday night. And I went and I thought maybe we're going to get free phones, maybe not. I don't know. When I got there, it was so exclusive. It was like, I think I saw Terry Peto there. I saw a couple of people, you know.
Engage the consumers.
Yeah, engaging consumers and us actually being able to access the product.
Touch and feel.
You know, exactly. Whether it's a new car, you know, take them out and things like that. So that's
number 8.
Well, we spoke about this a little bit. Content. That's very key.
Yeah, you content know? Is key.
Content is key.
It's become even bigger in 2016, right?
Exactly. And it's never going to stop. Going into 2017 also, people are always saying, okay, but what else?
Cool. We've literally got 2 minutes.
Okay.
Number 7.
Well, the correct use of social media. Social media is always going to be there. And it's not just Twitter. It's not just Facebook, like I said. And I think brands need to be aware of paid for and sponsored posts. You need to start making use of those, because those are not going away.
Do you see Snapchat growing even bigger? Do you see any new platforms coming online this year?
Definitely Snapchat for, this next year, and I think if Instagram don't wake up with their filters and they're still losing, so they need to do something, because I love the Snapchat filters and Khaled is like amazing.
Cool. Number six.
Damage control.
Ooh.
People always think, oh, PR is just there to make you famous or, you know, get you out there and give you publicity. But what happens when you are in an emergency and you're caught up in some sort of scandal and things like that? That's when we, you know, come into play. And whether it's sending out a press release, speaking on your behalf, sending out statements, we've done that a couple of times. We've had to do that. And that's something that you need to be aware of and make sure that
Yeah, there's almost like a template or a strategy in place. Like
definitely.
By default. Okay.
Yeah.
Number five.
Brand positioning. Like, again, maybe, you know, why you're in South Africa, the audience, and you need to really position yourself well in order for your audience to understand you exactly.
Yeah.
You know, what are we selling? You need to be so comfortable and confident about the brand that you're building, even with your team and even, you know, your PR management team, your managers, everybody, so that I can sell you even when you're not around. I'm so confident about the Blake brand that I can walk into meetings and say, we need sponsorships. This is how much he needs for his video. Can you give us that?
The tennis thing, I'm telling you, he needs to leverage that somehow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's something immediately is catching you. Don't forget, but we come back to that. Number four.
Number four. Operating in real time.
Live.
Everything is like, I mean, news gets old in 5 minutes.
It's
on
crazy,
social
right?
media. It's like, oh yeah, I saw that, next, you
moving
know
on.
And also that then means that PR is also not a 9-to-5 job.
Like, this should be live on Facebook or somewhere, right?
Streaming live.
Can you consult us, please? I don't know what's wrong with us. Number three.
Number three, building relationships. It's not enough to just say, okay, I have a database of media and I'm just going to send out a press release and tell them, okay, this is a story about whatever artist. I actually have relationships with most of the journalists and the media that are out there, so that if an artist comes to me in the last minute and they say, okay, this is something that I'm dropping in the next 24 hours, what can we get? I know I can call up certain people on TV, on radio tomorrow that will fly
it,
you know, and
got
that's
it.
Those are relationships.
That's key,
that we
always.
Build. Yeah.
Number two.
I'm running out of...
Yeah.
Doing away with the traditional press release. Yeah, I know people have had this argument and the debate continues that is traditional media dying out and so on. It is, but it's not going to fade as quickly. But have a look at the traditional media platforms. They're also implementing digital, you know, platforms now. You look at all the newspaper outlets, they have websites, you know, and they have social media accounts because they understand where, you know, the audience is. They all have smartphones, and I can't pick up the newspaper every day, but I can go and read up all your, you know, the news on your website.
Got it. The last one. Do you have this little final?
You can give us that, Timothy. I read your book, so I mean, you personal
okay.
friend.
Last point, and before we invite sort of Riannette in on the safety net thing, I'd like to re-emphasize your point of real time and live. I've noticed that this idea of, we've gone from the space of, you know, back in the day, you would send an email, and you know, now we used to, you know, from the MySpace area, we'll post something and see who posts. It is about being live. And I think that if you're going to be an influencer, you're going to engage your consumers and you're going to work with damage control, you've got to understand the dynamic of being live.
Definitely.
Allegra, you are a superstar. Thank you so much for coming through. I look forward to seeing what happened with Blake and how he builds his brand.
Thank you for
forward.
Having me.
We're going to beg the next show for another extra minute for Riannette. Riannette, thank you so much for being really, really patient. Thank you so much. We can see these guys want to come in, but we got safety net, cyber health. We need to save the world. Good things, guys, can wait. Riannette, talk to us.
Thank you. Yes, so talking about PR trends and so forth, one thing that you mentioned earlier was, listen, look after your own brand as well and think about it. So thank you so much for joining me, Riannette, for the Cyber Health feature. I'm from Safety Net, and our mission is really to make sure that we are all good digital citizens. So how do you do that? And with the holiday season upon us, I mean, we're all so excited and we just want to go on holiday. We're ready. We packed our bags. We've got the sunblock. So what can we do? And I would like to share some tips with you so that when you come back in January 2017 and you look back in amazement instead of ashamement, that you really think, ah, it was a good one. So let's use common sense, and some of the things that I'm going to share you've heard before, but it's good to hear it again. So let's look at the five W's and an H. You know, I did this a couple of weeks ago for how to do safe online shopping, so let's do it again for holiday social mediaing. So let's start with a who. Who will this post impact? Before you think about posting something or liking something, etc., just ask these questions. Who will this impact, and do you have their permission if you're sharing a photo of someone or if you're tagging someone? So who is a big question to ask. Then the what. What are you posting? Are you posting photos? And remember, photos have something that we call exchangeable file or image file format, which is geotagged, so we can actually find the specific location where you took that photo. And will it put anyone in danger? Is it going to impact anyone negatively? Like, think about these photos that people share, or images of animals or accidents or explicit images, thinking about the 13-year-old that might be seeing it, or someone who's, with all due respect, who's just lost a baby, and think about all the other people who've seen and who've experienced
that. That's a good point.
So I think just consider the fact that it might affect someone. So where do you send it? Which platforms do you use? And have you recently looked at the T's and C's to see who owns the material that you're going to be posting? Will they be able to go and put it on a billboard and you come back from holiday and, oh man, there is your beautiful photo and it's being sold? Then when, this is a big one. Listen, after the champers have popped and you've had one sip too many, it might be a good idea, even though we do live in the moment, to just think about it twice, especially when you're in the limelight and you've got someone who manages your PR for you. That's going to make their lives hard. So live in the moment. However, think about the message and how it could impact your employer, your family, etc., before you post it. Then ask the why question. Sometimes we have to consider why we are posting something and how it could actually add value, inspire, make someone laugh, or educate. Or do you like to see what 600 people had for breakfast? And then how? Remember that the social media platforms that we use give you options in terms of the audience and people you share it with. So you can actually share it with two people or one person or with a whole world. So just think about that. So take a minute and select the appropriate group, because in that way your message is more targeted, you'll get a better response, and you won't annoy certain people. So remember that the internet works on algorithms, and this is the space where we can talk about, or what we can talk about next time. But from my side, Rianette at SafetyNet. Have fun on the cyber highways and travel safely.
Thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back next week, and we appreciate you subscribing, and we look forward to what the good guys have coming up next. Thanks so much, Allegro. Thanks for Blake popping in. We'll be back next week.
CliffCentral.com.